Okay, so welcome everybody. And this is the ongoing meditation class. Those of you who go into the introduction to meditation class, led by the very enlightened, very wise Jeff, who's just going out. Jeff, turn around, yeah. There he goes. So we have those two classes, the introduction to meditation class and the advanced class for very deep experience meditators. The only difference is, in here we meditate for a little bit longer, and it also gives us the opportunity to teach a little bit more in depth about some of the problems people get in meditation. One of those problems which somebody asked me about just a few days ago, and I'm just going to repeat the answer which I gave there, is what happens when you have like sloth and torpor, the dullness of the mind. Either you fall asleep, and that's usually when the head starts to go down, or it's just the mind is dull, got no energy. And how do you deal with that? And I know that very well, because that was one of the problems I had when I was a young monk, the sloth and torpor. And sometimes, you know, you'd fight it. Sometimes you sit down and say, I am going to be awake. I am not going to be sleepy. The next moment, you are dull. And so we tried all sorts of ways of overcoming that. And one way of overcoming that was the box of matches trick. And the way to do it with a box of matches, you have the old box of matches, you take the cover off the box of matches, so you just have the tray with lots of matches in it, and you put it on top of your head. Because what happens, if you get sleepy and you start nodding, soon you nod more and more, and then the box of matches falls off and makes a big noise on the ground. And when I tried that, it was amazing just how well that worked. After only two or three days, I put the box of matches on my head with the cover off, and it never fell off. Amazing. But then someone took me aside and said, we saw how you were meditating, Ajahn Brahm. Instead of the usual nodding that way, I would nod this way. In other words, somehow or other the body is just so sneaky. I was still tired and sleepy, but without the nodding, without the box falling off. It's just a different form of nodding. But it didn't solve the problem. It was just trying to change the physical shape of that nodding. But then what happened after a couple of years, I had to renew my visa as a young monk in Thailand. So you went down to Bangkok to change the visa. And at that time, there was a place where the monks could stay in Bangkok, which was really comfortable, had your own room with no mosquitoes. They had mosquito shades or mosquito netting or whatever it was on the windows. And you didn't have to get up so early in the morning, because in northeast Thailand, the bell would go at 3 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes you just did not get enough sleep. I was told by Ajahn Chah you should only sleep 4 hours a day. That's not much. I could only do 4.5, that was my limit. But even with 4.5 hours sleep, you were very tired, you were sleep deprived. And the food you got up there in the northeast was not at all nutritious. And also, you would sleep in this hot, humid forest. Even in the morning, it was hot. As I would tell many people, there were three seasons in Thailand. You see the cold season, the hot season, and the wet season. That was not how I experienced it. I experienced it as the hot season, the very hot season, and the hot and wet season. It was always hot and very muggy. And I was born in London, which was cold. And so when I was up there, it was just always hot, 24/7. And so when I went to Bangkok, I got decent food, a good night's sleep, no mosquitoes, and they're not in the buildings there, and we managed to find an air-conditioned room to meditate in. You know what? No sloth and torpor at all. I could meditate just really easily, simply because it was the supporting conditions made it easy. And to this day, if ever I am sleepy when I'm meditating, it's usually because you haven't slept the night before, or you've been traveling and working really hard on emergency business. And of course you'll get sleepy. So these days, I never fight sleepiness. And those days when you had that sleepiness and you fought it, sometimes you could win and break through. And the sleepiness would disappear. But you know what happened next? Restlessness. Couldn't stop thinking. So I calmed the thinking down, made the thinking stop, and then you were asleep again. You're always going to those two extremes of sleepiness and restlessness. And so that when the effort never worked, then I realized that what we should be doing, and this is what I'm teaching you now, if you have sleepiness there, just don't do anything. Just observe it. Make that sleepiness the object of your meditation. You just feel it, you know it. It's not as clear as usual, but you have some awareness there, and that's enough. And don't fight. Be aware of whatever you can be aware of. And then you leave it alone. And it's a wonderful strategy, because what happens is when you do leave it alone, then little by little, minute by minute, the awareness grows. And the sleepiness just fades, just like when the sun comes up in the morning, the mist evaporates, and soon you have clear skies. And that's what happens with the sloth and torpor. The mist, which comes because of natural causes in your mind, just gets evaporated. And when it does go, instead of having restlessness, you have a beautiful peace. Not restless, not dull, but just really aware. And I found that I wish I knew that much earlier in my meditation practice. I wouldn't have wasted so much time trying to force things. And that's one of the reasons why I teach it here for you today. Don't try and force the mind. Be aware of it, be kind to it, and just that awareness and the kindness brings up enough energy to dispel sloth and torpor without getting any restlessness. And what also happens, I think I mentioned this the last time I taught meditation, what also happens is that you get this wonderful sense of joy and happiness. This meditation is gorgeous. I really appreciate the happiness of meditation. That's why I keep on doing it year after year after year after year for so many years. It's what you enjoy doing. You sit here and when you start, you may be a bit tired or a bit restless, but just calm it all down. Just let it be. What I sometimes say, make peace, be kind, be gentle. Now, where did that saying come from, make peace, be kind, be gentle? It comes from the Buddha's own teaching. It's actually the second factor of the Noble Eightfold Path, the right motivation. Just make peace with this moment. Don't try and get things. Just try and be here. Not going anywhere, but just being more fully where you already are. And be kind to this moment. It's one of the other things which, you know, is an important part of Buddhism, just kindness. And you do that, it's not just being kind to others, you know, to try and, you know, be a good monk or something, that's what I'm supposed to do. You do that because it's fun to be kind. I get energy out of that as well. Whatever you're kind to, it brings up more internal energy. And if someone is kind to you, what does that do for you? That also brings up your sense of safety, peace and freedom. I'll just focus on that term safety, because when you're meditating, if you don't feel that safety around you, you know, you're always a bit tense. It's like you're still aware just in case. You can't really relax. I remember one image which really quite shocked me, but I think reassured me about the importance of safety in meditation. And that was when, in the old days, I used to get airline tickets, you know, not online, but by going to the shopping centre, a flight centre. And, you know, I hated shopping centres as a monk because they were just, everything was just saying, buy me. I'd never had any money to do any of that. So, but what I did do, put your head down and made a beeline for the shop you wanted to go to, not looking to the left or the right. But sometimes you did notice, like mothers, you know, carrying a big tray in one hand, they're shopping, and a kid in their arm. And the kid was fast asleep. I couldn't figure that out. How can a mother carry a kid in a shopping center where people are pushing this way and pushing that way in that bustle? If that mother was carrying me, and she'd always get a broken arm probably, but if imagine broke, I couldn't go to sleep. I would worry that someone might hit me and just, or my mum would drop me on the floor. But that kid was so loved by the mother, it's like the kid knew it would never be dropped. And that's why the little baby could fall fast asleep where many other people wouldn't feel safe enough to fall asleep. And that reminded me of how important it is to feel safe when you're meditating here. You've got your eyes closed, your awareness is going inside, and sometimes we don't know what a person may be doing. Even it sometimes happens. Why do I keep saying these silly things? Sometimes it does happen. You may get into a very deep meditation. And if you get a deep meditation, then actually you can't really be aware of your five senses. You're just happily inside somewhere. And it has happened that sometimes if you get into such a deep meditation here and it's time to close up, you know, we can actually carry you outside. And imagine that. You start meditating here, and then when you open your eyes, you're in the reception area. How did that happen? You're totally safe. We wouldn't harm anybody here. But nevertheless, for you to be able to feel that safety, it's important for you to be able to relax so much that all your senses can just be softened enough to let go. So when you have that safety, that means a lot of the restlessness can be abandoned. You don't need to think about the future. I've often said, now is where your future is being made. That sounds logical, rational. But we still feel, well, if I don't plan for the future, if I don't think about this and work it all out before it happens, who knows what might occur? And because of that, we can't relax in this moment enough. Because we have fear of our future. So this is where, here, make sure you don't need to feel afraid what's going to happen. In fact, when you really know that meditating, things always go much better after a nice meditation. More clarity, more health, more energy. Everything always improves for me after a meditation. And I'm saying that after lots and lots and lots of experience. So make sure you're not afraid. Then you can let go. I've always mentioned it's about letting things go. How can you do that? Make sure there's no fear at all. And when you experience a few beautiful states of letting go, the deep peace inside meditation, wow, it's brilliant. And it also means it's easier to sit there and just let nature take its course rather than being worried if things might go wrong because of fear. Okay, that's just a beginning part of the meditation for you. So now, if you'd like to get yourself in your meditation posture as best you can, and then we can start with this today's meditation. Very good. So close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, you can feel your body. If there is any fear anywhere in your body, you can feel that there's a tightness in the body. You cannot let go because you think that's not going to be a safe thing for me to do. But I reassure you, many of you have been here so many times. It is one of the safest places in Perth. And then we check our body more carefully. At this point, I like to be aware of my feet. The reason I do that is not as if my feet are in danger of any sickness or pain. But I find it a great place to start generating and strengthening my awareness. But also, when I'm aware of my feet, I must remember to add this beautiful kindness. I care for my feet. I do not take them for granted. When I care for the feet, it's as if they feel safe. I can be more aware of the sensations in those feet. And being aware of the sensations in my feet, in the toes, in the soles of the feet, the uppers, the heel. When I can sense those parts of my feet and give them kindness, they relax more. I don't need to hold them tight or feel I need to protect them. They can be at ease. There's no danger there. And when I can relax those feet, the sensations change. That's how I know this is actually working. The feet get more and more comfortable. And that comfortable feeling in the feet I can enjoy. There's many pleasures in this world. And that's a very refined pleasure. The pleasure of relaxation. And no fear. Of ease. Comfort. And staying with my feet long enough, I move to the ankles. People do have injuries in ankles, tripping or twisting their ankle. Now I'm aware of the ankles. As I'm aware, again, I give this kindness. Ankles, may you feel guarded, protected. May you be at ease. I care for you. And honestly, I feel these ankles just, the feeling there just gets more open, more free. There's not so much tension in the ankles. And that feels good. So I move up to the calves of my legs. The muscles and the skin and the anything there. And I recognize, because I do this regularly, I recognize that feeling. I've known it many times. Now I can feel the calves of my legs. Again, I relax them. Relax them just through this wonderful sense of I care for you. Seems an obvious thing. A lot of times we don't know how to care. Just like knowing how to let go or how to really care for something. Now I'm practicing this on my own body part, the calves of my legs. And I know when it works, because the feeling in my calves gets really easy and soft. So if there's nothing they need to do, they can relax to the max. I don't hold anything tight in my calves. The longer I stay with them, the more delightful it feels. Please excuse me for using the word delight, but it's not really a sufficient word to describe the pleasure of just bodily relaxation. It's a refined happiness. But it's enough to make me enjoy this process of body awareness and relaxation. Then I go past my calves to my knees. I do know that many people have knee problems. I avoid that by giving my knees lots and lots of kindness when I start meditating. I notice the feelings, the sensations of my knees, you know, bent in this half a lotus position. Feel them and care for them. Like every other part of my body, once I give that care and mindfulness, it eases up. It relaxes. Like it opens up. I think that's where also, when it eases up, the body's own energy can go through that part of your body and do any healing which is required. And then go past those knees. Now they feel fine. To my thighs. And those muscles. Yeah, I don't know why, but sometimes my body surprises me. My thigh muscles feel quite tense. So I experience that. Mindful, and just relax all those muscles in my thighs. Through kindness, it's like you smile on them. Give them full attention, be kind. Almost saying, muscles, you don't need to be so tight. Relax. And they do. And it feels great down there now. From there I go to my buttocks. They always feel, I always feel the pressure of the buttocks on the cushion. You can't get rid of that feeling. You just make sure it's nice and even. The cushion is well placed under my bottom. If you're on a chair, if you wanted to fit it just to make sure that pressure you feel on your bottom, sitting on the chair, is even. And then once it's even, you can let it go. Let it go to other parts of the body. That buttock feeling tends to disappear. It doesn't change, it doesn't get worse, it doesn't get better. And the brain is only noticing things which do change. Things which are always there fall off the radar of your awareness. That's what happens with my buttock feelings. After a while you can't feel them anymore. Then I go to my waist. My belt is tight, so I'm going to loosen it. What I also love to do, and to teach others to do, is to give the back a bit of a stretch at this point. When I stretch it, then the waist starts to feel very comfortable. And then I let go, let it relax. And then I go inside my body, the bottom of the torso, which is usually just the digestive tract. I can scan my awareness up the lower part of my torso. I can feel sometimes some tightness there, sometimes some looseness. I just want to check to make sure everything's okay there. And if I do come across an ache or a tightness or even a pain, I pause and give a little extra dose of kindness to my own body. In Buddhism we often chant, "May all beings be happy and well." Now, I'm not chanting this. I am filling my brain with this thought and directing it to my lower part of my body. And it works. It makes the digestive tract feel at ease. No aches, no pains. Until I get up to my stomach. When I get up to the stomach and feel the stomach feeling, usually this time in the afternoon for a monk, this is how it feels. I'm kind to it. Sometimes you make your stomach do all sorts of work. You never say thank you. It works even though that you're doing something else. To digest all your food and give you energy. And I say thanks. And even that just relaxes my stomach. It keeps sweeping up the body, to your lungs, to your chest, to your heart. As you go up, it's like you're being kind, thankful to all these parts of the body which work non-stop for you. When I do that, the whole torso starts to feel just so at ease. It's practicing and increasing one's kindfulness, which is such an important part of successful meditations. And I get up to my shoulders now, the muscles which are often held tight, and I let them become loose. Can you imagine those muscles? Today I'm using the metaphor of imagining those muscles like these string or rather these band of strings, like sheaves of reeds which the farmers bind together on either side of my spine. And they're being stretched. And I tell both ends to let go. I let go of the ends of the shoulders. So all the shoulder muscles can be loose, relaxed, at ease. And I can feel the sensations in my shoulders. and they do feel relaxed now. It feels much more pleasant. So I go down my arms now to the elbows. If you've had any injuries to your elbows, you can actually feel the sensations of elbows. Relax them, bring them to a state of ease and comfort. Little by little, as you repeat these exercises, you get knowledgeable about the feelings in your body. Now with that awareness, you can learn very easily to relax those muscles and keep a healthy body. I get to my wrists. I can feel them. My eyes are closed. I can feel just their sensations. I give them kindness. And they really relax. Sometimes the people just need to be acknowledged. And that's what my wrists were like then. Just now I'm here, don't ignore me. I'm mindful of them and kind to them. That's all they need. And lastly, to my hands. Now I'm aware of the position of my hands and the fingers. And I place my fingers in what I can feel is the most comfortable position for them today. It's not always the same position. I let my hands tell me how they should be, rather than have a theory. I'm aware of my hands. And then having relaxed my arms, and relaxed the body from the neck down, now I go to the neck. And in my experience, you can have pains in the neck if my head is not properly balanced on the top of the neck. So here I move the head forward and back, left and right, to get it balanced. And once that balance is there, the neck feels good. And lastly, I go to the facial muscles. That's what I can easily be aware of, to check my forehead, make sure I'm not holding anything tight, and the muscles around the eyes. The eyes are closed, but they're not shut down tight. It's loose, relaxed and free, and around my nose, and around my mouth. I can experience the sensations in those muscles. As you all know, the emotions of your mind are exhibited on just how the face is contorted sometimes. So when you learn how to be mindful of your facial muscles and learn how to relax them, that does help subdue things like anger and greed, and even things like depression. It lessens it. You've got a face beautifully relaxed. And once again, it feels good. And now having relaxed my body part by part, I can join all those parts together, plus some of those parts I never even mentioned during this body scan. So is this whole body relaxed to the max. And just being aware of that body and relaxing it even more. And feeling the joy of relaxation, the comfort. Sometimes it's similar, but for me it's deeper, to when you wake up in the morning, you're comfy and cozy in your bed. You don't want to get up. it's pleasurable. This is quite the same. My body feels really comfortable. I don't want to move. When I notice that delight, the body relaxes even more. And that gives me the preparation. I built up mindfulness and kindness on my body, and it's relaxed enough to let it go and go to my mind. And I usually start by just noticing how peaceful I am, because peace is part of the character of your mind. It lives in your mind, not in your body. So when you start noticing peace, however it feels for you, you are actually being aware of your mind. And it's an important part of your mind. I don't just know how it feels. I just inquire and get to know what causes peace to deepen, become more peaceful. I notice what disturbs peace when I react to the world and try and control it. When I'm kind to this moment, the peace grows. Being kind, I mean I open the door of my awareness to this moment, no matter what it is. My job is not to get involved and change things and cure things, just to care for things. I care for this moment. And then the peace just goes deeper. It becomes more stable. And by stable I mean I can start to notice the aspect of the mind called stillness, silence. I trust that I don't need to take notes. I don't need to work out what this actually is or what it means. I can do that later. Now silence, peace. Soon I become aware of my breathing. That's what usually happens for me. When I do start to be aware of my breathing, because it's the last thing which is moving, I can do it easily. Just being aware of your breath coming in or going out, however it does it. I don't control my breathing. I just know it. And I don't describe it at all. Just awareness and kindness. It becomes a beautiful, delightful thing to observe. And it takes me into very, very deep states. Please excuse me, I will be quiet now. Because I get into this meditation too. When I speak, it'll be close to the end of the meditation.
coming to the end of the meditation, but don't open your eyes yet. Note how you feel. How much peace, stillness you have generated. If you can notice this emotional quality of comfort, freedom, a beautiful sense of safety. It's a special type of joy, the joy of stillness. You notice how delightful this feels. That will draw you in to deep meditation the next time. It really feels good. And now you also start to notice how your body feels. The mind can free the body. It makes it feel so comfortable, so healthy. In a few moments, I will ring the gong. When the gong does finish sounding for the third time, that is a signal to come out from the meditation. Excellent. Now we are soon to have another event, but before we have that event, we will do the questions. So can we have the questions on from the internet first of all? And then we're going to have a volunteers meeting afterwards, an event. Thank you. The first one from Borneo, the next one Kazakhstan, next one from Sydney, and next one of these is from Hong Kong. How do you be present if your present is not where you want to be? If you don't want to be here, that's always going to be very stressful for your life. It's a great trick, it doesn't matter where you are in your life, what position, how you feel. If you can change your attitude to wanting to be here, rather than wanting to be somewhere else, then you know the secret of freedom. Even if in a jail, even if you're in a sick body, if you're in a tired body, if you want to be somewhere else, you're making your life worse. So we change our attitude. That's something we can do. We can always change what we want. And when you want to be here, incredible freedom. From Kazakhstan. When I practice present moment awareness and silent present moment awareness, should my eyes be closed or open? And can I meditate lying down? Keeping your eyes closed is very helpful. It simplifies what your mind is dealing with. If you keep them open, you can get distracted very easily. That's one of the reasons why closing your eyes is a much more powerful way to meditate. You can meditate lying down, but be careful. Because if you meditate lying down, often you can fall asleep. Don't meditate lying down in the same position that you go to sleep in. That's one of the reasons if I want to meditate lying down, I choose a totally different posture than the one I normally go to sleep in. From Sydney, I had to put down my 13 and a half year old Labrador 4 days ago, finding it extremely hard to cope. I'm lost without him. How do I cope with intense grief and guilt? First of all, the usual way that I advise is if your dog or cat is really old and sick and the vet says you need to euthanize it, then the first thing is just to ask that dog or cat, what does your dog want to do? I'm not saying your dog will speak human language, but if that's a dog you've been very close to for so many years, you just look into its eyes and ask it that question, and you'll know the answer very easily. I've done this many times, and it really works. And sometimes you feel grief and guilt. Guilt. You know, you cared for the dog. That's why you made that decision. I don't know if you did ask the dog. That's a much better way of doing it. But nevertheless, you made that decision, and now the dog has gone. Remember, the dogs also can get reborn. Maybe that dog can come back into your life. I mean that. So you're lost without that dog. How do I cope with intense grief and guilt? The obvious answer, and this is not just being just superficial, please go to those dogs' home where people put unwanted dogs or puppies and adopt another one. Because you obviously have a lot of space in your heart for dogs. After a while, when it's the right time, go and adopt another one. There are some dogs in these homes, they've got no one to look after them, no one to care for them. Imagine what that must be like. You can do that. For Maria, I read your book on meditation with so many terms, nimittas, jhanas, etc. This confused me. I felt resistance. My meditation is simply diving in, so beautiful, peaceful. Is my attitude to sloth and torpor? Don't quite understand that, but sometimes there are some words in meditation like jhanas, nimittas. There's no other really words which can describe those things. After a while, when you hear them again and again and again, you get used to those terms. It's like terms in science. It's like terms in sport. After a while you understand what they mean. And that's the only way we can do these things. This deep meditation is really an amazing place, and we don't have such language for this in normal English. But after a while we get to know those words, like the jhanas or nimittas. And you listen to these talks long enough and you understand them. There's no other word to describe these things. So bear with the confused. And it says, my meditation is simply diving in, so beautiful, peaceful. Fine. Stay with the beauty and the peace. And then later on you will find that, amazing things happen. And then you go and look at these books. And you say, that's what a nimitta means. You know it because you've been there. From Gloria, Hong Kong. Is that sense of... I can't see the whole question because, goodness, how do you do this? There we go. Is that sense of safety necessary to cultivate with other people, like having someone to love you? No. It's not that sense of safety and having someone to love you. That's totally different things. That sense of safety means you can meditate in a place where you never feel that there's anything to be afraid of. The center embraces you, and that's enough. From Fiona, dear Ajahn, I don't find that I go to sleep when I lie down and meditate. I find that when I'm meditating, lying down stops me from being in pain. Is there a problem with this? No, not at all. If you can stay awake when you are lying down meditating, great. There's so many postures which we can use. And I recall that sort of experience which I had having the typhus fever. You know, laying down in bed and arms and legs all over the place, but still could get into really, really deep, beautiful meditation. That's wonderful. So, any questions from the audience here? Going, gone, thank you. The reason why I just went a little bit fast today is because we are having another event, which is the Volunteers' Day, to pay respects and gratitude to all the people who volunteered, all the people even who work here, but nevertheless do much more than they're paid for, simply because they do this with joy. So because of that, we're having this little bit of chanting, a little ceremony. And I think, is it followed by Aurora out there? I don't know if she's out there. Is it going to be followed by Eats?
Yes.
Yeah, for food. Okay, that's why I should finish quickly so they can get ready for the food, which is coming later. Okay, so now let's pay respects to Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, and then we can start the ceremony of acknowledging volunteers.